Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight I'm joined by Pepe to look back at another great victory for the Steelmen. We'll look forward to Saturday's game against Dundee. How are we going, mate?
All good, all good. Just still happy for the weekend's performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And with every reason to as well. It was a superb performance. For me, the best that we've produced under Graham Alexander. Perhaps the best we've produced for a couple of years, to be perfectly honest. A very dominant display, very different from the 2-0 victory over Aberdeen at Pittodrie 2 weeks prior. We controlled the game throughout. We went ahead halfway through the first half, deservedly through Conor Shields. Hearts were just to 10 men early in the second half, and we took advantage instantly. The set piece leading to Ricky Lamy heading home. Mate, it was just a thoroughly satisfying afternoon against a side that were in a rich vein of form coming to Fir Park as well. It's been quite a turnaround in these last two games. You think back to post-match after the 6-1 defeat against Rangers, everything was pretty doom and gloom and the nights were out for the manager. He's turned it round in a short period of time, and now the hope is that we can push on into a busy Christmas period.
Yep, that is the thing since Graham Alexander comes in. He seems to go through spells of either utter dread or really, really good positive results. I think the difference with the game on Saturday was the performance. From start to finish, I enjoyed the entirety of the game. I think you can tell when you enjoy a game when you're not constantly looking at the clock or checking other scores. I mean, it got to full time and I didn't know what any of the full time scores were and actually checked them walking out. So that's a good indicator. But then speaking to kind of guys who are the Motherwell fans, and they say exactly the same. These are either really, really good or absolutely awful. And that is true to the fact. Obviously, you can't judge the Rangers game on much, but I mean, you see what Rangers played like yesterday. Yes, they've changed. But it makes it a wee bit more disappointing that we know we've got a performance like a decent side, like a Hearts, who have beaten Celtic, albeit probably the best time to play a team like Celtic at the first game of the season. They've run Rangers close a couple of times. Yes, they get beat at Aberdeen, but they don't sit in third in the league for nothing. But I've always been in the kind of a like Graham Alexander camp. If you look at what he's done, we're not even a year yet of him being in charge of the team. We're sitting 3 points off a third, which is quite an achievement when you consider how poor this time last year. I think, if I'm not wrong, I think when he took over, the last win was possibly against Livingston away in Halloween. So winning these games away to Aberdeen, winning at home to Hearts and pretty convincingly. One thing that I was really surprised about at Hearts was watching the sports scene, it was Chris Iwilumu that said that Hearts had more possession. And I was really surprised at that, because I thought for the first time we dominated, so much so that I went and checked the stats and seen that it was 54% to Hearts and 46% to us. But the majority of that must have been in their defensive regions, because they didn't cause us any problems. Just in relation to the performance, though, I did think that I was actually walking out the stadium and met a guy used to work with Alistair, and they said to me that that's the best performance we've had since we could beat with Hibs, which is probably accurate. Now, whether that's that we've got a more solid defence. But I thought the performance against Tibbs was decent. But I mean, that was, again, as you've already said, it was, there's obviously some room for improvement somewhere. But you got into that game, losing Roberts, losing Van Veen, teams a wee bit disjointed. You look at the bench, there wasn't a great deal, but anybody could have got that man in the match. Maybe the exception of a couple, but you wouldn't have argued with that. And again, that's a good gauge that you can look at a game and think the team's performed well.
Before I go and look into individual performances, I think the post-match reaction was quite interesting as well. The celebrations inside Firth Park were fully justified for me. We put on a great display. We got a great result. And as you say, we've put within 3 points of a Hearts side who have been lavished with praise due to how well they've started the season. For me, being 3 points behind them suggests that we've started the season very well as well, and that's kind of justified in our position in the league and our points tally so far. You then get back to the house and you fire on Sports Scene, and Robbie Nielsen certainly didn't take defeat that well, did he? There was the likes of Craig Gordon taking hissy fits on the park. Then off the park, you've got Robbie Nielsen kind of belittling Motherwell's celebrations, saying that demonstrated how big a deal Hearts were. He said that there was nothing in the game, it was scrappy. And I think that was so far from the truth. You've got 20 shots for Motherwell to Hearts' 6. Motherwell offered so much more of a threat. It was as one-sided a victory as you're likely to see. It's just bizarre chat from the Hearts boss.
I think that's just his character, to be honest. I don't really pay much attention to him at all. I mean, he could run out of Tynecastle before, and I think a good way to judge it is the Hearts kind of Twitter feeds and stuff like that, and I go on and read what the fans have got to say, and the majority, if not everyone that I've seen, had said that Hearts were terrible and we were by far the better team. So I think that's more realistic. You don't expect him to commit and say, oh, Motherwell were by far superior or whatever. It doesn't really bother me, stuff like that. But just one other thing that when we were mentioning the Motherwell manager, I think he's due a bit of credit as well for his team selection, not in relation to the suspensions, but in relation to the defensive side of things. Against Aberdeen, Ricky Lamy came on and he played really, really well. He looked really solid, and he kept his place, where it could have been easy to just drift McGabby over into the centre-half role and bring back Stephen O'Donnell, who had performed particularly well, again, in a Scotland shirt. But the manager didn't get drawn into that, and I think there's great credit due for him for that, because if it had went wrong, the media especially could say, well, he's not playing a Scottish international and he's club captain. But I thought that was a really bold and brave move for him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. The thing is, as well, I'd be reluctant to change a winning team. Now, that's what Graham Alexander did. There was 4 changes, some enforced. There were 4 changes to that, starting 11 that defeated Aberdeen. Some were forced. Some were a tactical move. The decision to leave O'Donnell out did surprise me, to be honest, given that Bevis McGabby, of course, isn't a natural right back. But again, and you're going to end up having to go 360 here, because that was a superb performance from McGabby. He looked so comfortable. He was getting forward, but defensively as well, the amount of times when he just takes the pressure off by winning a big header. It was a fantastic display. The turnaround in Bevis McGabby over the last 3 or 4 months has been nothing short of remarkable.
I'm taking my time to answer this, because obviously I've admitted that in the last podcast that I'm not going to say I got it wrong, because I think I called it right at the time that he wasn't performing well, whether that would be that he's got a more solid defence round about him now, whether it's confidence, whether he was carrying an injury, who knows, but he definitely does look a good player. In fact, I bumped into a Rangers fan yesterday when I was there was something going on at my estate, and he was talking about us about the football and stuff. He commented on how impressed he had been with watching McGabby, and I was quite kind of surprised. And it's also good as well when he gets man of the match, and you've got a couple of guys behind that know that I do this, and I've listened in and shout that I'm absolutely clueless because I've called McGabby out for what he was at the time. But I'm big enough now to say, I mean, he fully deserves his team, and I'd be really disappointed if he didn't continue in the role. I have to say, though, I do think that he looks more assured at right back, although it's not his position. I can't be any else but impressed by him. I think there's been maybe three or four times this season where he's been man of the match, and justifiably so. It looks as if he's really settling into his role at Fir Park. And I think that's the important thing about the celebrations after the game. There was a while there where fans were saying there was a real disconnect with the playing staff, but you've only got to look at incidents such as Tony Watt going up in the wall, and there was that brilliant picture taken for the Cooper stand of him. It's great to see. You've got Saul coming up and taking the megaphone off a Dez and getting a wee bit of twist and shouting. We've got characters in the team that really feel, that's not even saying about Van de Veen, you know what I mean? But we've got characters now that the fans kind of relate to. And it is easy saying that once we've come off with two really good victories. But I generally do think that as a club, we're now starting to see what Alexander can bring. And I just hope that this is continued improvement. There will be a few setbacks in the way. But hopefully, when these setbacks come, that we remember but these good times as well.
Yeah, we've certainly missed the negative spell, haven't we? We've come back to things all being rosy in the garden again. And I struggle, I really do, to find even a hint of negativity following Saturday's performance. On McGabby at right back, my only concern there is I do feel that that's maybe an area that teams might target, given that he's not a natural right back. I think that he's more suited to a central role just due to his physicality. But again, I'm searching for things that haven't yet happened, and until it does happen, then there's certainly not a need to change it. Stephen O'Donnell's going to need to bide his time, I suppose, to get back into the side. And that comes from having a poor start to the season. Yes, there's no doubt that he was excellent for Scotland on Monday against Denmark. But at club level, he's got nowhere near those levels. So, yeah, I think that there will be a place for Stephen O'Donnell back in the starting 11 in the not-too-distant future. But for now, I'd be very surprised if he returned against Dundee, unless there was to be an injury during the week. And that's what happened this week with Kevin Van Veen, wasn't it? He's suspended. Connor Shields comes in. And a player that has been a bit part, he hadn't got that first goal, and you're beginning to worry that it could be an Alex Fisher, Jordan White type scenario where that first goal just doesn't come. And really, the time at Fir Park ended before it had even begun. Instead, he gets his opportunity from the start. And now I think he played very well against St Mirren as well. His work rate was excellent. He's got a lot of pace. He's quite physical as well. He seems to operate better out wide. But he got that half chance after an effort was blocked midway through the first half. He sticks it away, and that's him off the mark. That's a big monkey off your back. And then you can begin to enjoy your football. The sending off, the second yellow, it all comes out in the back of a really powerful run. He's smart, he's intelligent, he knows that the challenge is coming. He hits the deck, it's a certain yellow card. And then we've got a man advantage as well. So a very productive afternoon for him. And then again, you're now looking at, does Kevin Van Veen, after his double at Aberdeen, come straight back into the team? I don't know if he does. It's what's happening here is the manager's been presented with lots and lots of good headaches.
It has, but I don't really remember a time where we've had such a big squad where there's players completely drop out of the equation altogether. But I'll go back into that in a minute. But in relation to Conor Shields, what we forget is he's a young guy. He's making a wee bit of a step up, obviously coming from Queen of the South. I've been really impressed with him. Yes, I totally agree with you. There was a wee bit of kind of concern that potentially, remember he hit the bar against Dundee, and was things just maybe not going to work for him? Is it not going to click? He's obviously had the kind of a positive mental attitude to keep on plugging away. There's a wee bit kind of not taking aback, but I wonder if there's more to it. I mean, again, going back to sports scene, and it was James McFadden that kind of alluded to the fact that potentially he would go out and loan. Now, whether or not that's inside knowledge, speculation, I don't know.
Well, it is. He said that he's actually, it's been quoted in the press over the weekend that Alexander had to put the brakes on a loan move. He said that his opportunity would come for him. That's why he had to stick about.
Well, I'm glad that he has. But, I mean, if you look at... when we're talking about the squad, we've not even mentioned Jordan Roberts, who I think, am I right in saying he did start against Aberdeen?
Yeah.
Again, I think, see if you go back to the end of last season, and when Andy Peebles and myself, both of us kind of said we were never really 100% convinced with Jordan Roberts. We would have been happy for him to come back, but If it happened, it happened. And I think he's a decent player, but I'm still not 100% convinced. I think he does all right, but that's about it. I think personally that Woolery's a better option, and I also think that now Shields is in front of him, so we've got really good competition there. If you look at the amount of defenders that we seem to have, there was Darragh O'Connor back on the bench. I've just mentioned the forwards, and I've not even mentioned Amalusa. The midfield, Cornelius comes back in, so it shows you how far out the picture Liam Donnelly is. I've never heard anything about him being injured. When I went to walk over to see them training, he's always been there. So Grimshaw seems to have dropped out. He seems to be able to do that. Maguire's come back in, and I think Maguire's looked pretty good in the last couple of games. Unlucky not to score a really good goal. He looked pretty confident. He always looks super, super fit. So all in all, the squad is looking great. But again, it's easy to say that off a back of a brilliant couple of results.
Yeah, it is. I think that there's kind of two ways of looking at it, because in the Cooper Suite prior to the game the other day, I had a conversation with someone where I actually said, and I don't know, in fact, it was them that brought up the point that the bench kind of showed that we were maybe struggling in a few areas. There was a few that had come back in that had been out of the picture. And I guess that is due to injuries and suspensions. Ayala, again, is out, which has meant we've had to reshuffle the back line somewhat. And I think O'Connor's been quite unfortunate. He's kind of been a substitute on occasions and then missed out on occasions as well. But I didn't think that he looked out of place when he got his opportunities at the start of the season. So he's maybe just been a victim of the fact that we've went in and got Saul, we've got Ayala, and that seems to be the preferred central pairing. Bevis McGabby's been a bit of a revelation as well. So it's there's certain players that are actually been victims of other players just playing better or playing very well when they're given their opportunity. Barry Maguire's really taken me by surprise, because the game time that he was getting at the start of the season made me think that this was going to be the time where, unfortunately, Barry would just move on, and I wasn't 100% sure where he would land, to be honest with you. But the way that he's come in and the way that he's performed, I would like to see him cement his place. There was a void left by Alan Campbell, a massive one, that I don't think that Barry has got the same attributes as Alan Campbell does. And so please don't get me wrong for saying that. But he's certainly got those fitness levels that you mentioned. And then I just think there's a real hunger, a real bit of dig in there that just really allows the more attacking players to express themselves that bit better. I think Kane Woolery has really benefited from Barry Maguire being in the team as well. So having players that you can bring in that will bring other players on is a massive thing. You think about that as well. Mark O'Hara had come in and I thought that he was one player that Alexander really, really rated and would kind of put him in more often than not. But it looks like Barry Maguire's kind of edged him out a wee bit as well. So, yeah, there's a lot happening in this team. But it's great to have that amount of options. On Liam Donnelly, that was another thing that came up in the press conference on Friday. Seemingly wasn't training this week. Really struggling to get back to the level of fitness that is required. And you think back to that first season where he missed the majority of it through injury. He's had his fair share of injury woes during his time at Fir Park. I think the first thing you have to say there is you just really hope that he can get a bit of luck fitness-wise and get back up to being able to play regular football, because it must be a hellish, hellish time that he's had.
I think maybe sometimes a change is good, and I think that might be the key that we've seen Liam Donnelly perform particularly well when he was scoring the goals. Bearing in mind a lot of them were penalties, but now when he played this season, he just didn't look fit, just didn't look up to speed at all. And as I said, I think maybe time will tell with that. I think he'll maybe be away when it comes to kind of Christmas time, whether it be a loan move. Bearing in mind that we're getting another kind of attacking midfielder. I know he's not an attacking midfielder, but it's another kind of a midfield player that's going to hopefully kick on, the young Irish boy that we've signed, that the manager spoke about. So I really don't see him coming back into it at all. And obviously, the other thing as well is we've completely forgotten all about Robbie Crawford. I know that he's injured, but again, I really don't think that he'll feature. I don't think we'll see him in a Motherwell shirt again either. So things are definitely improving. And I'm looking for, it gets to Saturday now, and I think to myself, if everybody's fit, surely that team has got to start. As you've already said, Van Veen, he's been great. There has been games where he's went missing, and I do think that Shields offers you that energy, real kind of a pace, and it was really causing Hearts in particular. John Souter looked all over the place, considering he was the hero the week before. But Shields looked, I just thought he looked brilliant. I was really, really impressed with him. And every time that he was chasing the ball down, you could see him getting tired. But having him with his pace and Woolery, it left kind of wee bits of pockets of space for Tony Watt. And I thought the three of them looked probably the most exciting forward three that we've had this season. But again, we'll see what the manager picks on Saturday.
Yeah, and knowing Alexander, there will be a fair few surprises in there, you would have to think. I'm going to mention a few players, sort of like we did in the last podcast, but just on this one game in particular. We have touched on Ricky Lammy's performance in the second half against Aberdeen and then on to the game against Hearts on Saturday. He was excellent, wasn't he? The goal-saving tackle at the back end of the first half, getting on the score sheet, but overall, it was just a really commanding performance. It was everything we kind of hoped we were getting with Ricky Lammy last season and didn't get, but he seems to have had a real confidence boost, and that goal and his reaction after it told a real story, didn't it? It was a special moment for him, and just a drastically improved performance.
I think he was quite unfortunate to find himself dropped when he was. I think if you compare him to Big Sol, I mean, at the moment, I would categorise him as being a kind of a cult hero type. And players like that, like if you look at Kipre, who was known for a wee kind of a dodgy pass back or mistake, but he got forgiven because he was Kipre. And I think Sol is slowly but surely slotting himself into that. And I think guys like Lammy, who have been about Scottish football for a while, they don't get that wee bit of extra patience for the support, just because he's just a normal centre-half that comes and goes for various different clubs. Now, whether that's fair or not, I don't know. Listen, his performances last season, particularly when he had to play at left-back, I think potentially knocked his confidence. And I think now he's realised, I've played well here and I've been dropped. I need to go in here and really fight for my place. And I think that has probably gave him that wee bit of edge. And I'd be really, really disappointed to see him dropped, even if Oyala's back. I don't think you can just put him back in. I think he's been great. Come on against Aberdeen, and he just looked solid. So long may that continue as well. I would see no reason why he should be dropped at all.
No, I don't think he will, to be fair. I think that the kind of injury run that Ayala's had as well, there will be a wee bit of doubt creeping in as to how to keep him right to play an extended run of games, because it's not happened since he's arrived at Fir Park. And on the back of a second successive clean sheet, I'm getting on the score sheet against Hearts, I really don't see any way that the manager could drop him. I think it would be a really detrimental move to drop him as well, because he does seem like a bit of a confidence player. I loved the celebration after the tackle on Woodburn. It just demonstrated how much it meant to him, which is great to see. And I think that's another wee thing as well. We obviously didn't see it at close quarters last season while fans weren't in the stadium, but to a man, you could see how much it meant to them, and the way that they celebrate goals all together and stuff like that is really good to see as well. It seems like it's a really solid unit just now.
Well, it certainly seems to be. I mean, it seems to be all positive, and there's almost like a kind of a expectation now that when we get a decent result, that virtually the whole stand stands firm, and the players ground and applaud the support. I think you see that effort coming into the. And as fans, you can relate to that, you know, and that seems to be quite a lot of younger fans going round and seeing the players away. I mean, Kevin Van Veen spoke about the fans before and after the Rangers game at Ibrox, because we weren't allowed in. So it does feel as if we've turned that kind of that disconnect off, and it now appears to be starting to feel like an old school Motherwell team again, which for me, and obviously when I'm taking my 10-year-old boy with me, is brilliant. Because there was a wee bit of time there where you could feel that players weren't wanting to be here and want to move on, but you actually feel as if this squad want to play for Motherwell, and more importantly, are enjoying doing it.
Do you think that's a case of Graeme Alexander now fully having his own stamp in this team as well? There's the vast majority of them are his players, his signings. There's definitely his approach to games as well. I'm not saying that it's markedly different from what we had under Stephen Robinson, but there is certainly a real feeling that this is now his team. And I think that's the first time in the 10 months or so that he's been in charge that I've felt that way.
Well, I mean, certainly you've got to think that way. Obviously, we're not privy to what goes on at the stadium, but the players all seem to get on really well. It's not like we've just all signed players for down south. We've obviously got a couple kind of Norway and Finland and stuff like that. So we've got various different cultures included in that, which obviously looks as if it's helped. But I think that I said it at the very start, when we signed players in January, the whole point of that was just to get us away for relegation. Although some of them didn't work out, I think the majority of the signings that we've seen in the summer have been pass marks. Some of them have been really good. Some of them have been just all right. One of them that I think still remains undecided is about Sean Goss. I do think he's improving quite a bit, but you can't deny that his set pieces are great. Obviously, not all of them, but over the last few games, he's put some cracking balls into the box, which has resulted in goals. He's maybe not the busiest player in midfield, but we've got Maguire there, we've got Slattery, and as you've said, obviously O'Hara played against Aberdeen, so we've got that there to allow the luxury of having Goss there for playing the balls in. The only thing that I would say is it seems to be that still that plan A, and there isn't there a plan B. That's the only kind of wee concern. But I think the manager has said, obviously, Rangers, he'd done a lot of things wrong, and maybe things will maybe change when we're up against one of the big two going forward. I don't know.
You've kind of nicely taken me into that there. The other noticeable difference from that game there was the eradication of the short corners, and certainly worked to really positive effect. We look so much more dangerous. Hearts really struggled to cope with our set pieces. We got a goal, obviously, from the free kick as well. Lands at the back post, and Lammy's there to put in a fantastic header for the second goal. It's been a long time coming for a lot of people. There's been games where we've had corner kicks booed by our own supporters. It looks like we'll be moving away from the short corner routines, and hopefully, given the presence of the likes of Saul, Mugabe, Ricky Lamy, even Tony Watts, a real danger from set-piece situations, hopefully that can bear fruit.
I was in a kind of stuck in the middle with these corners that we were doing, and I'm not going to lie, I'm glad that we're back to a kind of traditional corner. I think what I was frustrated about was the ball just seemed to float in. So it's almost difficult for a defender like, say, Mugabe, Oyala, whoever, to come ahead and connect with that ball. I think that was what the main frustration was. But we've obviously worked out that it wasn't quite working. But in saying that, I mean, when I went up to Tannadice, if you look back, the goal that Oyala got chopped off came through one of the corners. And then the build-up to the goal with Tony Watt also came for one. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. But if I had to say we'll not see one of the short corners again this season, I wouldn't be overly disappointed.
So we now move on to a fixture against Dundee on Saturday at Dens Park. First of all, Pepe, it's a game that you're looking at the fixture list and aim to win regardless of what form you're in. And I think that possibly comes from what was a fantastic run of results that we had at Dens. That obviously came to an end in August when we lost in the Premier Sports Cup game. And that was very, very disappointing in the manner in which we went out. Dundee, I've done all right, I suppose, since their return to the top flight. They're 4 points off of the bottom, sitting in 11th place just now. They didn't play this weekend. I'm not sure who they were meant to play, but anyway, they weren't playing regardless. The onus is on us to go and try and extend that run, I suppose. Dundee have had quite a few positive results on the road, but at home, you look at the last couple of games, they were thumped against Ross County. They were beaten well by Celtic, despite the fact the game ended 4-2. It was a pretty one-sided affair. Hopefully, the poor run of form at home can continue into this one.
That is one of the games that you see at the start of the season, and you do think that this is an away game that we should be taking something from. You'd be badly disappointed if the minimum was near drawing. I do fully expect us to go there and win. I think if you look at the comparison of the squads, yes, they've got a player in Griffiths. You can think what you like about him, but he can score goals. But since he's went there, he's not really set the head on fire at all. I think he scored maybe one goal and booted a bottle into the crowd, and that's about it. I don't even know if he might even be suspended for the game after that. I'm not sure. We've obviously got Charlie Adam in the middle of the park, who's obviously still a decent player. But I think when you look at the two squads, we should be going up there and expecting to win, particularly off the back of the performances that we've put in. A couple of players back, going to have more options off the bench. Fully expect us to go up there and win. I hate to do it, but you know what it's like being a Motherwell fan. Everything's positive. and then Saturday comes and it falls away to shit again. But let's be positive and let's hope that again we go on, because this is quite an important game. When you look at what we've got a kind of informed Dundee United coming to Fir Park, a game where you'd hope to win them, we're away to Hibs, we're away to Celtic. So getting these points just now is really quite important against teams, the two Dundee teams. The next two games, you'd really hope that the minimum you get out of them is 4 points, which then really sets you up good getting into two real tricky away ties.
Yeah, and as I touched on earlier on as well, it's such a busy time of the season. The fixtures suddenly come thick and fast, and we're well aware that there's no easy games in this league either, as cliche as that is. I think that while we are in good form, we've got to remember that on a different day, the result at Pittodrie may have been different. We were dominated for the best part, but we took our chances, we were ruthless. It was excellent against Hearts, but we know how inconsistent performances can be with this Motherwell team. We need to kind of strive for a level of consistency that can push us for the top six, and I think that this is a real test of that, to show the character. We've done it against two sides that are possibly expected to finish above us in the league. I would say Hearts are definitely, Aberdeen would have been had it not been for the really poor start to the campaign. These are our bread and butter games. These are the games that if you're looking to finish in the top half, you've got to be getting positive results. And too often, this is where we slip up. So a real test of character for the players here.
Well, it totally is. But I mean, I think what is consistent is that we're getting results. As we said at the start of this podcast, we're only 3 points off a third. Now, we kind of get carried away with that, but we're going about stats. People bring out all sorts, particularly possession stats. When we look at Aberdeen, yes, the lion's share, with two shots, two goals. That's the stats that don't matter. The stats that matter is the points on the board and the victories and the goals. And whatever way that Graham Alexander is able to do that, it's what game management that he selects. I mean, you've seen what he was going to do just prior to a scoring, that O'Donnell was stripped, ready to come on, and he was ready to shore it back up to protect that 1-0 lead. They go down to 10 men and you score the goal, and it changes his mindset because we've not got that kind of hold on to the 1-goal lead. So you know exactly the way that he's thinking. You know that it's not going to be pretty all the time. But again, if you said to any Motherwell fan at the start of the season, when we get into, we're approaching December, we're 3 points off a third, every fan would take that. Yes, there's been real shit shows, particularly against Rangers, Dundee up at Dens in the Cup. There's been a couple of other ones that have just been absolutely woeful. But we've had some good results when we've not been played well. But I still enjoyed the Hibs game, even though we get beat. The Hearts game, we've played really, really well. So for me, I think we're ahead of where we should be, in my opinion. I don't know about you. I mean, I always go back to this game and look at when Keith Lasley was in charge. Now, this isn't any fault of Keith, because in my eyes, he's blameless for anything. The Ackies game where we had Aaron Chapman in goals, that it was just atrocious. Looked as if nobody gave a shit compared to what we had with all the players. And after we won the game on Saturday, which seemed to piss off Robbie Nielsen. So look at how far we've came. Consistency maybe will take that wee bit longer. There's going to be ups and downs for the team gelling together and getting everything right. So I'm more than happy to wait, get this season, finish as high up our table, and then continued improvement. What I will say is, if the manager continues to improve the team the way that he has, it'll not be long until he's getting spoken about for other jobs as well. And I know that again, some people might listen to what I'm saying it wasn't long ago that we got hammered 6-1 off the Rangers, and I'm talking about to another club. But that's the type of manager that he is. He's a relatively big name down south. He's played in the Premier League. He knows English football. So I really don't think it would take too much for him to start getting linked with jobs for the kind of Championship to League One type leagues where the budgets etc are busy. Sorry, are better than what we have. And I'm not getting carried away with it. I just generally think somebody looking out to see the job that he's done from when he started to where we are just now, the stats, people will not look at the shit show performances that we've had or the games that we've won where we've not been really playing that well. So for me, that's the most important thing. Looking to where we were when he took over to where we are now, and it's night and day.
Yeah, another factor to consider there is that, and I'm not getting carried away, but if it was the case that we were to beat the two Dundee teams in our next two fixtures, we've won four games out of four in November. So you've got the possibility for the second time in the 4 months that we've had this season that Graeme Alexander comes away with the Manager of the Month award as well. So there's something in that. I don't think that people are looking at who the Manager of the Month is in Scotland every month and then going, right, we'll need to appoint them as our next manager. But it's just an extra string to his bow and something that people might think might make people sit up and take notice. I think that's what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, I think his stock is certainly on the rise. But at the same time, I'd quantify that by saying we do have to be careful just not to get too far ahead of ourselves, because it would only take a disappointing result against Dundee or Dundee United to kind of make you think that there is still quite a way to go. So, yeah, we've just got to do it one game at a time, and that next one being at Dens Park on Saturday. I do fancy us to go there and get a result, but at the same time, I'm well aware that it's not going to be straightforward because, let's face it, it really is.
No, listen, just to clarify what I'm getting at is, if you take Motherwell fans out of the equation, right, and say for a team down south, I don't know, like a Sunderland or somebody like that, right, looks at what he's done at Motherwell, his start point to where he currently is, to me that looks like a success. Yes, there's been football in there that's been dreadful. The corner kick issue seem to be a big massive bugbear with the fans which we've spoke about. I'm not saying that he's the greatest manager that we've ever had, but he seems to find a way of winning games, and that can only be a good thing. My only concern is that when we're terrible, we are absolutely horrendous. And when we're good, like we were on Saturday, we're at another level. I think we just need to find, I don't even think consistency, I think we need to just find middle ground somewhere. And hopefully, when we get that middle ground, that the defeats are maybe just not as bad as what they were. Hopefully the victories are as good as what we've seen, particularly against Hearts, and then we build for there.
No, I'd go with that. It's definitely the most enthused I've been about the team and getting along to games in quite some time. It's incredible what a couple of results can do. Even after the Aberdeen game, I wasn't completely convinced that was a turning point, but to then go and back it up with that sort of performance against a team full of confidence was just brilliant to see. And as we've already mentioned on quite a few occasions, it just does show you that we have been, over the course of the first 14, 15 games, I'm not 100% sure how many we've played, we have been picking up decent results. Well, mate, I think we're pretty much heading to the end of this. As we've kind of touched on there, there's not much more than the reaction to that game and then previewing Dundee, unless you can think of much else that's come up over the last couple of weeks.
Just, I would just like to go back to Stephen O'Donnell. I met, when I was at Southampton, I met Derek Watson, the two of us were kind of speaking as Motherwell fans at Scotland game and saying that about Stephen O'Donnell obviously playing the night, he was the most capped Scotland internationalist at the club for I don't know when the last, can't remember the exact time of the record. And I think O'Donnell has a real, real harsh treatment for some fans. But his performances haven't been great, and I don't think that he deserved to start. And the two of us were a wee bit kind of a, how would I say it? Well, we were kind of concerned that potentially he would be the target for Denmark. And then at half time, I bumped into him up at the toilet area, and we said, how wrong would we know about football? So I think Stephen O'Donnell's is great again. I mean, that's Scotland to beat a team that's 10th in the world, and there's a Motherwell player in that squad. So I think it maybe was a turning point for O'Donnell. Yes, again, he came on at a time in the game where we were winning 2-0 and we were playing particularly well, but he got quite a good reception, and I think that'll do him good, because what I was kind of concerned about is if he had another horrendous game for Scotland, like he did against, maybe it's a bit harsh, horrendous, but he didn't have his best 90 minutes against the Czech Republic. And if he had another one of them, I'd have feared for the rest of his season. But I think it's been a really good thing that he's had a great performance and then getting that wee cheer when he came on. So hopefully that spurs him on, and a lot of the fans are maybe going to wipe the slate clean, and we get to see the real Stephen O'Donnell, or the Scotland style Stephen O'Donnell, rather than what we've seen for the start of the season.
Yeah, I think even just kind of reflecting on that performance at Hampden last Monday, it's certainly right up there with the best I've ever seen Scotland. The atmosphere at the last two matches has been absolutely phenomenal, so good to be a part of, and it's a really exciting time to be following Scotland right now. I think, speaking from my own experience, I had kind of dipped in and out with the national team. Something that I don't think I'm embarrassed of, but I do feel like I kind of, there's maybe times where I should have suffered like the hardy souls that went along to games against Kazakhstan and Cyprus and things like that, but I never really felt any sort of connection with that team round about then, and don't get me wrong, I think a lot of that is to do with the fact that results weren't as good as they should have been, but to see a middle player hold his own against players of that calibre as well is brilliant. And I think that the one thing that we noticed, and me and my mate remarked on it as he was going to warm up on Saturday, it felt like the roar from the Cooper stand was pretty significant. Possibly matched the one that Liam Grimshaw got. And we all know how high esteem he's held in by the Motherwell supporters. So that was good to see. And the fact that he got a wee bit of game time and got a good reception from the supporters, hopefully that allows him to kind of put the last couple of months where he has struggled behind him and just push on, because there's no doubt that he's got the capabilities, and we talked about this last week, that he's more than capable of being a real asset for this team. At the moment, he's going to need to bide his time, because I think that the performances of others will keep him out, but what a demonstration that when the time comes that he's able to turn it on, because that was a brilliant performance. To a man, Scotland were brilliant. But the performance of Stephen O'Donnell, who I think he is the one, and there was people around me when the team was announced, and they were kind of bad mouthing him, and they all changed their tune very quickly during the game, because he didn't put a foot wrong. That was maybe for me his best performance at Scotland jersey.
No, I agree. I thought he played really well against Austria as well, but I think part of the problem is that when the squad was announced, there was a lot of our fans that said they didn't deserve it. And to be honest with you, I can't really argue with them that Steve Clark's got this kind of squad mentality and wants to keep the kind of core of the players. He doesn't really bring players in when he should or shouldn't. It's really his call. And that's possibly the reason why we have been successful. But I mean, on the fact that he is Motherwell's most capped Scottish internationalist, I don't think that I'm being out of order by saying this. I don't think he's a fan's favourite. If that had been like Stevie Hamill, I think there would have been, the fans would have really taken to that. Maybe I don't want to say he's no one of our own. He's a local lad and whatnot, but he's come in for Kilmarnock. There's always been rumours about him moving, weather stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we've got to look back to what he's achieved whilst he's been at Motherwell. He's played in a Euros that some of our fans hadn't even seen Scotland play, never mind a Motherwell player. So you've got to take your hat off to him, and he's had that fair bit of negativity. So I really just wanted to bring it up, and hopefully now that he's going to be at the club for a wee while now, and hopefully he does become a fan's favourite, and this week kind of a poor spell is behind us, and he turns into being a great captain.
Just thinking of one thing that I really should have mentioned prior to this, the South Stand, now named the Tommy McLean South Stand. And that seems to be something, Pepe, that's been met with universal approval from the Motherwell supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, Tommy McLean was Motherwell growing up through the school years when I fell in love with football, the signing of Davy Cooper, Bobby Russell, winning the cup, having that amazing run. We're not exaggerating here. We were challenging for the league under Tommy McLean. Obviously, left to go to Hearts, but for me, one of the greatest managers that we've ever had, and it's well deserved.
I think that pretty much wraps us up for this week. I think with the two games in a short space of time against the Dundee clubs, we'll come back at the back end of next week to review those games and look ahead to the trip to Easter Road. But until then, thank you very much for that, mate.
Thanks again. It's always good to be super positive.
Yeah, that's it. Long may it last. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back towards the end of next week. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
A kaleidoscope of whole souls are waiting for someone, for some new change to follow.